everyone. Welcome to this special edition of The Heart of the Matter. For quite some time now, a few of us, a precious few of us, have been very concerned about a large, well-organized, very far-reaching organization called REFL 500. Now, I hope you'll take the time to listen well to this documentary, which is an in-depth look at a very deep well of ecumenical corruption, which is, in truth, nothing less than an instrument of popery, part and parcel of the strategy conceived and announced by Vatican II, and which has been so successfully carried out now for almost 50 years. I've spoken many times about that strategy, and I've written on it as well. It's hard not to speak on it now, but there are many facts I need to set before you in the next hour or so. Thus, I'm going to only give you two quotes from two different Vatican II documents. These are things to keep in mind as we progress with this documentary. Concerning ecumenical dialogue with, quote, non-Catholic communities, unquote, especially, of course, evangelical Christians, this ecumenical dialogue, which is at the heart of the Vatican II ecumenical cooperation strategy, we have this, that it, quote, serves to transform modes of thought and behavior and the daily life of those communities, that is, non-Catholic communities. In this way, it aims at preparing the way for their unity of faith in the bosom of a church one invisible. Thus, little by little, as the obstacles to perfect ecclesial communion are overcome, all Christians will be gathered in a common celebration of the Eucharist into that unity of the one and only church which Christ bestowed on his church from the beginning. This unity, we believe, dwells in the Catholic Church as something she can never lose. And, of course, that is the Roman Catholic Church. And then we have this, quote, ecumenical cooperation is a true school of ecumenism, a dynamic road to unity. Unity of action leads to a full unity of faith. Through such cooperation, all believers in Christ are able to learn easily how they can understand each other better and esteem each other more, and how the road to the unity of Christians may be made smooth. Ecumenical cooperation is a true school of ecumenism, a dynamic road to unity. The purpose of this special Heart of the Matter program is to give a much more in-depth report on REFL 500 than we've ever done before, either on this program or in several articles in which REFL 500 was not the sole subject. Those articles, and at least one of the programs, caused quite a bit of controversy and brought us a good deal of vitriolic criticisms. Now, you can find the articles on our church website at www.pccmonroe.org. REFL 500 is a very large topic, but I will strive to present enough information the next hour or so to give the listener an understanding of the true evil nature of REFL 500, and in that, plenty of reason as to why faithful ministers and all faithful Christians must separate entirely from REFL 500. Or be in disobedience to the Word of God and acting contrary to the honor of Christ Jesus, the good of his blood-bought flock, and the true faith once delivered unto the saints. Now, we're going to close out this program with a brief commentary by my good friend, Reverend Ivan Foster, a longtime faithful contender for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We don't expect to be widely commended for this program, since names by necessity in such a warning must be named. But we're not out to get anyone, any more than we have any interest in being respecters of persons. Our concern is for the honor of Christ Jesus, who purchased us with his own blood, Christ Jesus, and the authority of his word and the well-being of his own blood-bought church. This is what we're concerned with. Now, I am a minister, a preacher of the Word of God, but this particular program is a documentary, a fact-filled documentary. It is a rebuttal to those who have insisted ministers of Christ can be a part of REFL 500. We are going to lay on the table exactly what REFL 500 is. Now, as a minister, I preach many times on biblical separation, but today my aim is to expose and document as much as possible in the time we have the nature of REFL 500. It is a cage of unclean birds. It is a haunt of Roman Catholics, apostate Protestants, and a few high-profile Reformed ministers who are sound in basic doctrine, but they are deeply, dangerously, treasonously, we might say, corrupted in practice. With those men in mind, allow me to give you a quote from Charles Spurgeon, a minister who, unlike some Reformed ministers whose names you'll be hearing soon, would have had nothing to do with REFL 500, but rather he would have exposed it and rebuked it. Now, this is from Spurgeon's morning sermon at the Metropolitan Tabernacle on October 7th, 1877. This is what he said during that sermon. I know what would happen if we feared God more. We should sooner die than remain in any fellowship with popery. Every man who saw any fear of his being in complicity with Antichrist would at once say, I will not have it. Popery is abhorred of the Lord, and they who help it wear the mark of the beast. I hate Antichrist, and therefore I denounce it and cry down with it, raise it even to the ground. Everything that is of the Pope and Popery would soon be put aside if men were but true to their consciences and their God. And what can I say but amen and amen to what Charles Spurgeon said? REFL 500 is nothing less than a religious conglomeration reeking of Jesuitical intrigue. It is an ecumenical stewpot of Roman Catholic and, speaking in the general and broadest sense, Protestant churches, organizations, seminaries, and various institutions. The leadership of REFL 500 includes both Roman Catholics and Protestants. The title of REFL 500 refers to the 500th anniversary of what is known as the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. That is when Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. However, the name is very deceptive. I say the name REFL 500 is very deceptive. The reality, as is clear from the REFL 500 official website, is that REFL 500 is about many so-called reformations of the 16th century, including Rome's Counter-Reformation, the Council of Trent, which are discussed and analyzed in a very favorable light at various REFL 500 events, including but not certainly limited to those hosted by Roman Catholic REFL 500 partners, a few of which I'll list in a couple of minutes. But here's a quote off of the official REFL 500 website. Here it is. On the Roman Catholic side, the Counter-Reformation is considered as a consequence of the Catholic reform. In the latter case, one should consider that the Church requires constant focus upon inner renewal to realize the Catholic, of course that's Roman Catholic, ideal of life. As far as the Counter-Reformation is concerned, the Church had to maintain these in the struggle against Protestantism. The Council of Trent, 1546 to 1563, occupies an important place in the history of the Counter-Reformation. It was, on one hand, preoccupied with the renewal of the Church, but on the other hand, the various decisions reached that take the doctrine and ecclesiastical practice concern setting themselves against the Reformation again. And also, off the official REFL 500 website, we have this. Partners are free to bring their own projects into REFL 500, giving their own interpretation of the term Reformation. And we have this. Out of the Reformation of the 16th century, many Protestant churches did indeed arise. This movement also had a significant impact upon the Roman Catholic Church. Out of the Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church also recognizes, namely, their own Roman Catholic reform, which is also known as the Counter-Reformation. REFL 500 also focuses on the Roman Catholic reform. Now, as we get started here, I do want to mention that all documentation presented in this program is accurate as of the date this program airs, and it's also been preserved. Now, I want to read just a few more telling excerpts from the REFL 500 web pages, which tell about the organization, its nature, makeup, philosophy, aims, vision, partners, mission, and so forth. Now, these are in-context excerpts representative of much, much more of the same sort of statements. Remember, REFL 500 is a deeply ecumenical organization, and I would mention here, without going into needless detail, that those involved, actively involved in this organization, call it both REFL 500, and there's a reason they do that, and REFL 500 for the obvious reason. Either way of saying it is correct. But a few more excerpts from the REFL 500 page, which contains basic information about this ecumenical, in truth, Romish octopus with many and far-reaching tentacles. Now, the octopus, you know, uses its tentacles to grip its victims and pull them in toward its mouth in order to bite them with a poisonous bite. But enough of metaphor. Here's some additional excerpts from REFL 500. I'm just going to read these excerpts. I won't tell what heading each one comes under to save time. Just excerpts. The foundations, that is REFL 500 foundation, the foundation's goal is to function as a platform for meetings and cooperative ventures for partners. Now remember, Roman Catholic and Protestant partners. Going on, another one. The foundation aims at helping to create a platform or a network of cooperation, consultation, and information exchange with one another in the broadest sense. And another excerpt. The partners collaborate upon the programs of REFL 500. And here's another one. REFL 500 helps people to understand the meaning of the Reformation, to discover the relevance of the Reformation, and to see and experience the influence of the Reformation in several spheres. Remember, when they're talking Reformation, they're talking about also the Counter-Reformation. It pursues this exciting venture in a contemporary and fresh manner with an open attitude towards the past and the present, towards church, culture, and society. Another excerpt. REFL 500 is working on this goal by creating an environment in which project partners can collaborate on the composition of the program and the products appearing within REFL 500. Under partnership benefits, we have a number of things, including access to an international platform for cooperation and growing. And it speaks here about working toward goals. The partners work toward their goals. REFL 500 desires, reading another excerpt, to make connections between themes from the time of the Reformation to our own. Here are the key words: renewal, change, and central relevance. REFL 500 focuses on a broad audience, another excerpt here, and desires to reach everyone. Now, before we go any farther, I should perhaps briefly introduce you to Dr. Herman Selderhus. The very accomplished Dr. Selderhus is the director of REFL 500 and president of the REFL 500 Reformation Research Consortium. He's also the professor of church history at the Theological University of Apeldoorn. It's in the Netherlands. Dr. Selderhus is a Protestant, speaking in the general sense, as we will often be doing in this report. He is a deeply, unashamedly ecumenical Protestant. He's very open about this by word and association. As to the former, that is word, consider just this Selderhus excerpt from a 2012 interview he did with the Religion and Liberty publication of the Ecumenical Acton Institute, headed up by Robert Sirico, a Roman Catholic priest. The particular question was on the state of Christianity in Europe. Included in Selderhus's reply is this, quote, "Christianity as a way of life and a way of faith has a future, and there are developments among young people. A perfect example is the Young Catholic Convention in Spain." That would be Roman Catholic Convention in Spain. "And the Pope attended the event there, and hundreds of thousands of young people attended that mass. and they were enthusiastic about it. And then he says, now, who will give us straight talk? Who tells us what way to go? There is a need for that, and the Pope is preaching a clear message, and young people are attracted to that, unquote. As to his associations, Dr. Selderhus is apparently more than happy to speak and preach with Roman Catholics as he does in official REFL 500 functions. Now remember Dr. Selderhus as we go along here. He's very, very active and engaged in REFL 500, and you're going to hear his name again as we mention just a few of many REFL 500 events and just a very few of the many Roman Catholics and Protestants involved in those events all around the world. And on that note, I will ask you to please bear with me on some of the names of those I'll mention. For instance, some with Dutch names. I am notorious for mangling names to begin with. And remember, you're listening to a farm boy from the American Midwest, so there may be some very bad mangling of the names of certain people. Now, it's important to understand that REFL 500, from top to bottom, is spiritually, religiously, ecumenically rotten to the core, and that it has been so, and very openly, from its very beginnings. There is no way any minister could involve himself in this organization without knowing what he was involved with. And there is no way any minister would involve himself in this organization if he was determined to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the official REFL 500 website contains a very short report titled 2,000 People Visit REFL 500 Opening. This event took place in the fall of 2010 in the Netherlands. That's the headquarters, so to speak, of the REFL 500 worldwide organization. It was just tempting to say one world organization. Now, for those with eyes to see, it's most revealing to consider those who were chosen to speak at this official and public opening of REFL 500. Dr. Anton Bodar was a speaker. According to his bio, this man was educated by the Jesuits, and he is an ordained Roman Catholic priest who currently spends about 9 months of the year in Rome. In answer to the question of whether the Reformation was a mistake or progress, Priest Bodar replied in true Jesuitical fashion, quote, because of reform, that is, certain superficial reforms in the Roman Church, because of reform, progress, because of the schism, speaking here of those whom the Lord led out of the Roman Church, saved and gathered together in faithful churches, because of the schism, a mistake. And quoting also from the REFL 500 article, other speakers that evening included Mr. Kees van der Stey and Dr., and here I am in a fix because this is a man and his name is spelled A-N-N-E. It's Dutch, so we won't go there, but Dr. will skip over his first name, van der Meiden. It says that he called the church division after the Reformation a negative result. Then going on in this article, there was a positive evaluation also, for example, on the part of Dr. Helene Dupé, and that's the best I can pronounce that, D-U-P-U-I-S, Dupé, who dubbed Protestantism and liberalism obvious partners. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing, she says. Well, yes, apostate Protestantism and liberalism are obvious partners, and that's called positive at the REFL 500 event here, the official opening event. Now, I don't have any information on the man I mentioned, van der Stey, and almost none on van der Meiden, other than he's a liberal Protestant. Now, as for Dr. Helen Dupé, this woman is involved in numerous but not good movements and groups, religious and political. In fact, she currently holds political office as well. She is Emeritus Professor of Medical Ethics at Leiden University, and she looms very large in the Dutch euthanasia movement with all its horrors. In fact, she's the past chairman of the NVVE, that is the Dutch Association for Voluntary Euthanasia. We don't have time to say more on Professor Dupuy other than to mention she holds a medal awarded to her by the Masons. Now, again, this is one of the people chosen to speak at the opening event of REFL 500 in Europe. The REFL 500 opening event program also included a roundtable discussion with a couple of Muslims. Their first names are Sadiq and Ahmed, and I'm not going to attempt their last names. The first was from the Institute for Multicultural Development. The second was director of the Islamic University of Rotterdam. Now, another speaker at the REFL 500 opening event was Dr. Christina Berkvens. She's the emeritus professor of European culture at the, is it Radboud University, Nijmegen? She's an author. She's put quotes around this pastor in the deeply apostate Remonstrance Church, which is a REFL 500 partner I'm going to tell you about later. We talked about them on a previous show on REFL 500 quite a while ago. Now, according to a translation of this woman's website, she's titled Mother Superior. And in that capacity, she performs various rituals, for instance, for those committing suicide and for sodomite weddings. Now, we have to move along, but this should suffice to define what sort of Christianity, quote-unquote, Dr. Christina Berkvens practices and preaches. And again, she was another featured speaker at the official opening of REFL 500 in Europe. Three other speakers included representatives of the apostate, very pro-homosexual Protestant church in the Netherlands. That's a denomination. There were Roman Catholic speakers also, including a lady who was also at that time and still is the editor of a publication called The Catholic Newspaper. Let's give her name a go here, Mariska Orban-Haas. Now, two speakers at this event, this opening event of REFL 500 in Europe, two speakers, one Roman Catholic and one an apostate Protestant, spoke on the use of social media to reach youth. Quoting now from the REFL 500 report, quote, according to these speakers, Twitter and the social media appear to function as a means to reach youth. Young people are looking for role models, which also can be found through social media. The church must therefore put forth inspiring leaders. The church. Two Roman Catholics and a Protestant are giving this presentation, the church. It's obvious that this dangerous error is foundational to REFL 500. That is, that Protestants and Roman Catholics are all part of the church. And what is obvious is that REFL 500 is an ecumenical tool of popery to corrupt the Lord's flock, to further Romanize the thinking and understanding of evangelicals, and bring Protestants home to Rome. Those Protestants involved with REFL 500 are furthering the cause of Antichrist, the Pope. But I close this segment of our report on REFL 500 with this telling last paragraph from that official report on the opening event of REFL 500. Here it is, quote, the REFL 500 partners indicated that there was a great amount of interest among those who came by their booths. Many partners also realize that REFL 500 is a good platform to collaborate with other organizations despite their differences in religious background. Unquote. Yes, indeed. Collaborate with other organizations despite their differences in religious background. And the Pope and the devil said, amen. I want to take now just a little time, and a little time is all that we have for any one topic, and tell you about the official partners and sponsors of REFL 500. These include a very broad range of organizations from North America, Europe, Asia, and elsewhere. Africa, for instance, including churches and seminaries and religious organizations, Protestant as well as Roman Catholic, and there is some Jewish involvement as well. Now, there are also state universities and other secular organizations involved. And as I talk about this, I'm talking about the specific partners and sponsors. There are other organizations, ministries, etc., involved in REFL 500. They're just not partners or sponsors. Now, there are a couple different lists of REFL 500 partners and sponsors on the official site. For whatever reason, they vary a little bit. What I'm saying is several of the sponsors and partners do not appear on one list, and yet they'll appear on another list. It doesn't mean they're not partners and sponsors. They are. I mean, we know that by seeing how active they are in this organization. But you can find a list for partners and sponsors by going to REFL 500 homepage and then click on partners and sponsors at the top, it would be, of that homepage. And then you can go to another list of the partners and sponsors by clicking also on the same page, clicking on who, what, where, and then you follow through on that, and you'll find lists that way too. There's a number of lists on the REFL 500 website. Now, I'm going to give you just a few examples of many official REFL 500 partners as of the date this program airs. And it's important to remember that there are also many individuals involved in REFL 500 events who are from organizations and seminaries and so forth, which are not official REFL 500 partners. For instance, the Roman Catholic Notre Dame University. And one more thing. Again, the information on present and active REFL 500 partners, like all the information I'm sharing, is well documented. It's checked and rechecked. It is the reality as of the date this program first airs. Just a few, then, of the Roman Catholic REFL 500 official partners and sponsors, which are listed. They include the John 23 Foundation for Religious Studies, Italy, the Jesuit Historical Institute in Africa, it's in Kenya, the Catholic University Leuven, that's the oldest extant Roman Catholic university in the world. You have the Catholic Association for Ecumenism, Netherlands. And another organization we have here that we'll put under Roman Catholic REFL 500 partners is Boston Theological Institute, an association of 10 theological schools. We'll put this under Roman Catholic. These schools are Roman Catholic, but they're also Jewish, Orthodox, or Episcopalian. So we'll put it here, and we can put it a few other places as well, I guess. And then next, here's just a small sample of many of the Protestant REFL 500 official partners and sponsors. We have Beeson Divinity School, Samford University, USA, Timothy George Dean. We have Canadian Reformed Theological Seminary, Canada, Gerhard H. Vischer, Principal. We have Crossway Book Publisher, USA. We have Fuller Theological Seminary, USA, Richard J. Mao, President, the notorious Richard J. Mao. We have Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, Dr. Joel Beakey, President, and we have Reformation Heritage Books, Dr. Joel Beakey, Editorial Director, both USA. We have the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, USA, Dr. Albert Moeller, President. We have the United Theological Seminary, USA. This is a United Methodist Seminary, which boasts, quote, "United is a seminary of the United Methodist Church that welcomes students from many faith traditions." Then we have the Providence Forum, USA. We have Westminster Seminary, USA, California, USA. In fact, W. Robert Godfrey is the president. We have Westminster Theological Seminary, Philadelphia, USA. Peter Lilbach is the president of that. We have the Remonstrance Church, Netherlands. We have the Theological University of Apeldoorn. Now, as I've alluded to earlier, there are official REFL 500 partners which somewhat defy specific categories, such as the Ecumenical Institute for Interreligious Dialogue at the University of Trier, that's in Germany. And there is the Boston Theological Institute, which I mentioned. And there's the Acton Institute for the Study of Religion and Liberty. The president of that is Robert Sirico. I mentioned this earlier, a Roman Catholic priest, but it is ecumenical with Protestants involved as well. We know that Lord Acton, of course, was a Roman Catholic, and so Acton Institute, but there are Protestants in this too. It's headed up by a priest. Now, Witte Traveling Tours, headquartered in Grand Rapids, Michigan, USA, of course, is the official North American REFL 500 travel agency. The Witte Traveling Tours website states, Quote, for more than three decades, Witte Traveling Tours has been designing and operating tours for pastors and their congregations, religious organizations, colleges and universities, scholars, historians, and family groups. Each tour is a made-to-order combination of religious activities, popular attractions, hidden treasures, and free time. Whether it's a pilgrimage to a holy site, an in-depth study tour, or an adventure among the beauty, history, and culture of a region or country, it's a blessing on every level. Witte Traveling Tours has arranged hundreds of tours for Reformed, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, and Baptist groups. We see here that the Witte Travel and Tours website documents tours to such places as the Fatima Shrine in Portugal and various other Roman Catholic sites in other countries, including other shrines. Now in Europe, Terra Lou Travel, headquartered in Germany, is also a REFL 500 travel partner. I told you that Witte is the official North American REFL 500 travel agency, and it takes people all over North America and really all over the world. Well, you also have Terra Lou involved. Terra Lou is a REFL 500 travel partner. Terra Lou specializes in, quote, faith-based travel, unquote, same as Witte Traveling Tours. And Terra Lou also includes trips to Roman Catholic sites. So even the travel agencies for REFL 500 are deeply, deeply ecumenical in nature. Now, in that partial list of Protestant REFL 500 partners and sponsors, you heard a number of apostate Protestant organizations, including, but certainly not limited to, Beeson Divinity School and Fuller Theological Seminary. The Remonstrance Church, really a denomination, comes under the heading of apostate Protestant. The Remonstrance, one of the earliest REFL 500 partners, deny any number of the essential doctrines of our faith, and on their website, they boast of such accomplishments as these, and I'll quote, "The Remonstrants were the first church in the world to open marriage for same-sex couples. It did so as early as 1986. The Remonstrants were one of the first churches in the Netherlands to ordain women as ministers. The Remonstrants are open for dialogue with members of other Christian denominations and other religions. They were among the churches that established the World Council of Churches in 1948. These are the bragging points, so to speak, of the Remonstrance Church. The Remonstrance statement of faith includes, and we could share so much, but includes this heretical declaration which denies the deity and penal atonement of Christ. Listen, here it is. We believe in Jesus, a spirit-filled human, the face of God, seeing us and disturbing us. He loved humanity and was crucified, but he lives beyond his own and our death. He is our holy example of wisdom and courage, and he brings God's eternal love close to us. And let me just quote a little more from the Remonstrance website here. Here's one. The Remonstrance Church is a community of faith which, rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ and true to its principle of freedom and tolerance, seeks to worship and serve God. Ever since their foundation in 1619, the Remonstrance Church has been a community of discerning, curious, free-thinking people where a high emphasis is placed on tolerance, freedom of faith, and thinking. We have this about the Bible. Quote, Remonstrants see the Bible as a special and inspiring collection of testimonies. It testifies of people's experience of a presence or absence of God in their lives and in the world. It is a special book because its stories can still guide us today toward an understanding of how God and humanity can be united. Well, I've already spoken briefly of the 2010 opening of REFL 500 in Europe. Now, let me tell you just a little bit about the launching of the North American manifestation of REFL 500. And I'll mention here that this is all one organization, and the main players are active on both sides of the Atlantic, all around the world, in fact. I have before me an official REFL 500 press release. It's dated June 23rd, 2010, entitled North American Launching of REFL 500. It is relevant to note who was involved in that launch event, especially because they are called the staff, and also the key North American leaders. Well, let's read a little bit from that press release. The North American arm of a multi-year project to highlight and celebrate the relevance of the Reformation as a movement of renewal and change was launched in Atlanta, Georgia on June 21st to 22nd, 2010, meeting at the Emory University Center for the Study of Law and Religion. Dr. Herman Selderhus, the international director of the REFO 500 project, introduced staff and key North American leaders. And then we have the various staff and key North American leaders mentioned. You have Dr. David W. Hall. They say here he's the former director of Calvin 500. He was appointed as a North American director for REFO 500. You have here mention of Dan Herman and Jan Peterson hyphen Wayward of Witty Travel, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then also you have Dr. Joel Beakey. In this case, they mention he's representing REFO 500 partner Reformation Heritage Books. You remember Dr. Beakey's seminary is also a REFO 500 partner. Now, RHB and the seminary are currently found on the list one finds through the Who, What, Where link. On the main page of the English REFO 500 site, 3 out of 4 links going to partner lists goes to that list with PRTS and RHB included. Now, later on, you'll see that Dr. Beakey himself is very active in speaking with REFO 500. Here, he is called in this press release. Let me back up in the press release. He's not staff, so I guess key North American leader of Reformation 500. Let's go on here. The REFO 500 press release says, quote, project leader Carla Aperlou summarized REFO 500 as a project that wants to make connections between the past and the present and also between partners working together. This Atlanta meeting shows perfectly how it works, unquote. We have a picture included with the press release. It shows the following REFO 500 personalities posed together at the 2010 North American launching of REFO 500. We have Frank James, Dan Herman, Herman Selderhus, David Hall, John Witte, Joel Beakey, Carla Aperlou Borsma is her full name, John Thompson, Jan Peterson Wayward, Michael Haken, and Bob Godfrey. Now, the first 500 REFO 500, that would be conference, which took place in North America. This would be the first conference now, not the launching. We've had that. Now, the first conference, which took place in North America, was held at the campus of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, you know that Albert Moeller is the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. This was held September 27th through the 28th, 2010. That seminary is also a REFO 500 partner. A report on this event is found on the REFO 500 website. Here's just the first paragraph of this REFO 500 article. A growing international network of leaders, scholars, and pastors focusing on the abiding significance of the Reformation held an enthusiastic conference at the campus of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, September 27th to 28th. The first North American conference assembled numerous speakers to launch the movement, which will sponsor a robust series of events through 2017. Now, here's a little information from that REFO 500 report and the conference schedule on the various speakers at the conference. As might be expected, Herman Selderhus spoke, Dr. Joel Beakey and Dr. Albert Moeller both spoke, as did Frank James of Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, Dr. John Fesco of Westminster Seminary, California, Eric Herman, Concordia Lutheran Seminary, as well as a number of other personalities. Now, those last three speakers, James, Fesco, and Herman, I'm completely unfamiliar with. That's the first I've heard their names as far as I know. I'm very familiar with the out-and-out apostate Protestant Dr. Timothy George, who was another speaker at this first REFO 500 conference in North America. Dr. Timothy George is the Dean and Professor of Divinity, Beeson Divinity School at Samford University. And he's a senior theological advisor for Christianity Today. He's also on the editorial board of First Things and also Books and Culture. And he's currently the chair of the Doctrine and Christian Unity Commission of the Baptist World Alliance. Now, it's an understatement to say none of that is good. Timothy George, who likes to speak of Mary as the Mother of God, has also been very active in the International Baptist Roman Catholic Dialogue and the Evangelicals and Catholics Together movement and documents. Timothy George also joined with the late Chuck Colson and the Romanist Robert George, the author, co-author of the Manhattan Declaration, which was made public at a news conference on November 20th, 2009, 10 months before this first REFL 500 conference in North America at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And of course, Moeller also signed the Manhattan Declaration. Among REFL 500 Protestants and Catholics, there are a number of Manhattan Declaration signers, and you would expect that, wouldn't you? There were other speakers at this first North American REFL 500 event. I certainly don't know anything about a number of them. I don't know, or I know very little about Clifton Kirkpatrick of the Far From Faithful World Alliance Reformed Churches. The title of Mr. Kirkpatrick's message was An Ecumenical Celebration, How to Work Together with Fruit and Without Frustration. Now, I've not heard or read that message, but I can tell you that the World Alliance of Reformed Churches for decades has been in ecumenical dialogue with a number of churches, including the Pentecostals, the Orthodox, and more than any other church, with the Roman Catholic Church. The World Alliance of Reformed Churches has since that first REFL 500 conference combined with another group to form the World Communion of Reformed Churches, which is no improvement whatsoever. And nevertheless, here's a quote from the website of Mr. Kirkpatrick's organization at the time he spoke at the Louisville REFL 500 conference with the individuals I mentioned. Here's a quote. Through international, bilateral, and multilateral dialogues, the World Alliance Reformed Churches helps to foster deeper understanding and broader cooperation among different church families, unquote. So it's not too hard to imagine what the subject matter of Mr. Kirkpatrick's message would be, that message he gave at the first North American REFL 500 conference at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary with Moeller, with George, with Beakey, et al. And by the way, the REFL 500 report on that conference also includes this, quote, among the widely published authors for a book signing at the Lifeway bookstores at Southern's campus, as part of this conference were Herman Selderhus, Timothy George, and Joel Beakey. So they teamed up to sign, autograph their books together at the Far From Faithful Lifeway bookstore. Now, I can't report on every REFL 500 event and conference held thus far in North America, or for that matter, Europe and elsewhere, nor do I have information on every such event planned. But I'm going to mention just two official North American REFL 500 gatherings which I have taken place. But first, I want to tell you about an event in which REFL 500 played a big part, but was not an official sponsor. In October of 2011, REFL 500 took part in an event put on by an organization titled the 16th Century Society and Conference. That's the actual name of the organization, and then it also puts on conferences. Now, the one in October 2011 took place in Fort Worth, Texas. REFL 500 is a very large independent organization. It's worldwide, just as I've described. But REFL 500, along with a number of other organizations, Protestant, secular, and Catholic, are also affiliated with the 16th Century Society and Conference. Now, this organization put on a multi-day conference, and REFL 500 took part in it. This was back, again, in 2011. And in fact, they've had a conference in 2012, I understand, as well, and REFL 500 was there. But I have information on the 2011 conference. And it was quite a theological menagerie. Some speakers were from colleges, such as the Mormon Brigham Young University and the Roman Catholic University of Notre Dame. And then you had Fuller Theological Seminary represented, and you had Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary represented as well. Now, here's a sampling of the titles of some of the many diverse messages given during this particular conference. These are some of the titles, just a sampling. Here we go. Knowing God Through Dreams. Here's another one. Professional alliances, whores, petty criminals, and other working women. Here's another one. Amongst those beds so bravely decked, Isabel Whitney and the construction of female narrative authority. You have the Roman Curia and the works of conversion under Gregory the 13th. You have one called Heavenly Witchcraft here, which has to do apparently with the divine feminine, we're told. Poetry and mysticism, women's Catholic activism under the Habsburg rule. You have stylizing sainthood, the beatification process, and the autobiography of, I'm not going to attempt to say this person's name, I think it's Spanish, it may be Portuguese. One segment of the conference was titled The Implementation and Interpretation of Tridentine Reform in Early Modern Europe. So that's the Decrees of Trent, and they call this reform. This segment included messages with titles such as From Discipline to Mercy, Model Tridentine Bishops in Italy. Here's one, a Jesuit textual reading of Christ's Passion and Mary from the ceiling paintings at the church in Antwerp. Now, it bears mentioning that this conference boasted both a Roman Catholic Mass and a Protestant church service. But what of the REFL 500 speakers? What about that segment of the conference? Well, they were Randall Zachman from the Roman Catholic University of Notre Dame. They were Benjamin Mays, Concordia Publishing House, that would be Lutheran, and last but not least, Dr. Joel Beakey, Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, Carla Aperlou Borsma, the project manager for REFL 500, was the chair. And REFL 500 also had another section of the conference as well. The organizer of both of these REFL 500 sections at this conference was Herman Selderhus. The speakers of the other REFL 500 section included a Norwegian and a Swede, whose names I'm not going to attempt, and then also Charles Courtright, Wisconsin Lutheran College. Now, the apostate Beeson Divinity School, REFL 500 partner, was the host of a REFL 500 Reformation Spirituality Conference, November 1st and 2nd, 2011, in Birmingham, Alabama. The official REFL 500 internet promo for that event sports, and it's not surprising, an idolatrous, very Romish picture of Christ on the cross. Christ will put quotes around that, on the cross. Speakers at this event were Carl Beckwith, Gisela Kreglinger, I'm sure I mispronounced it, Timothy George, there he is again, Gerald Bray, Herman Selderhus, Carla Aperlou Borsma, Graham Cole, a man whose name I will not attempt to pronounce as well. Now, this conference featured a Vespers service and a homily offered by Ed Hurley. We're told here, senior pastor, South Highland Presbyterian Church, Birmingham, Alabama. Now, on this side of the Atlantic, REFL 500 events are not restricted to the USA. I mean, I've given you just a couple examples of some of the events that have taken place, but they're not restricted to just the USA on this side of the Atlantic. For instance, this past January 18th to 19th, 2013, the Canadian Reformed Theological Seminary in Hamilton, Ontario, a REFL partner, hosted a special event called Your Only Comfort Conference. The speakers included Lyle Birma of Calvin Theological Seminary, Herman Selderhus, Jason Van Vliet of Canadian Reformed Theological Seminary, and then again Dr. Joel Beakey. Now, for our American listeners, I'm going to mention here, based on the great many official REFL 500 internet documents we've read, we've researched, if I had to name the two Americans most involved in REFL 500 here in North America and elsewhere, and right from the birth of the beast, I would have to say Dr. Timothy George and Dr. Joel Beakey. The latter, that is Dr. Beeke, appears to range far and wide, speaking at REFL 500 events. I've mentioned a couple he's spoken at, and of course he was at the official launch of REFL 500 in North America, but I say he ranges far and wide. For instance, he was a speaker at the May 25th and 26th, 2012 REFL 500 Asia Annual International Conference at Chongqing University in Seoul, Korea. And in a minute, I'm going to briefly fill you in on an upcoming REFL 500 event, a big one, and very much promoted, that'll take place in Europe, which Dr. Beeke is going to be leading, and of course, doing a lot of speaking during that event, multi-day event. Now, due to time constraints, we need to then turn our attention very briefly to REFL 500 events in other parts of the world. I've already told you about the official launch event for REFL 500 in Europe. There have been quite a number of REFL 500 events since that day in 2010. For instance, we could jump to 2012, February 9th. There was an official REFL 500 meeting in Leuven, Belgium, organized by REFL 500 partners, the Catholic University of Leuven, John 23 Foundation for Religious Studies, and the Evangelical Theological Faculty. Now, I doubt the names of the speakers at this event would ring a bell with many, if any, of you listeners, and I'd probably mangle most of those names, but suffice it to say they were from those three organizations, two Roman Catholic, one Evangelical, so-called. Some titles of the messages included the Roman Lenten Synods of 1074 to 1075 and the impact of the Reform ideas of Pope Gregory the VII on the local churches. We have Protestant Confessions in Ecumenical Perspective. We have the critical edition of the Vatican II documents. We have also the Council of Trent Revisited. Those are some of the names of some of the messages presented. The Roman Catholic University of Leuven has been, from the start, a very big REFL 500 player, already hosting a number of REFL 500 events and with more in the works. We certainly don't have time to consider all those events and everything about them. But I want to just quote one telling statement from an official REFL 500 promotion of a REFL 500 conference, which was held at the Leuven University from the 29th of November through December 1st, 2012. Here's that statement. In the religious developments in Northwest Europe, the Bible has often been instrumental, whether as a point of reference, as a stumbling block, or simply in and of itself. The organizers of that particular REFL 500 event were from the Catholic University of Leuven, the Netherlands Bible Society, the VU, University of Amsterdam, Johannes Alasco Library, Emden, and then also included was REFL 500 director. Here he is again, Herman Selderhus, the man who seems to be everywhere. Now, in scanning upcoming REFL 500 events already being promoted, one finds Roman Catholic organizations and speakers, a great number of out-and-out apostate Protestants, organizations, and speakers, and then also a few high-profile Reform ministers and teachers, a few, who have the reputation of being solid as a rock in doctrine, but they clearly are badly corrupted as to practice. We really don't have time to run through all of the other events which REFL 500 on various websites is promoting, including a number of grossly ecumenical and in some cases heavily Roman Catholic events, including events favorably dealing with the Council of Trent. One of those upcoming events dealing favorably with Trent is titled 1563, Heidelberg and Trent, Evangelical and Catholic Boundaries and Approaches. That's September, and then also in October of 2013. It's put on by several Protestant institutions and the Ecumenical Institute, University of Tyrer. A REFL 500 promo says, quote, above all, the central question is what boost for the ecumenical dialogue of Heidelberg and Trent went out, unquote. Now, at least two upcoming REFL 500 conferences are being sponsored directly by Jesuit organizations. I mean, they are, by definition, Jesuit organizations, openly Jesuit. But then again, this whole REFO 500 ecumenical stew reeks of Jesuitical intrigue, doesn't it? Now, the time we have left, I'm going to mention one heavily promoted REFO 500 European event, since it's going to be taking place in, what, just short of 7 weeks now. And then also mention it's a strange REFO 500 train tour coming up, strange for a number of reasons, including the musical performers. And then we're going to have to wrap this very large, troubling subject up. This July, the 11th through the 19th, Dr. Jason Van Vliet, Canadian Reformed Theological Seminary, and Dr. Joel Beakey, Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, will be leading an official REFO 500 tour through historic sites in Germany and the Netherlands. Of those speakers, Dr. Beakey seems to be the one most heavily, very heavily promoting it, this tour, on his personal blog, on his seminary blog, or I should say website, and then also on his church denomination website. The tour is titled The Legacy of the Reformation. In addition to the tour guide leaders and speakers, the two I mentioned, that is Dr. Jason Van Vliet and Dr. Joel Beakey, Dr. Herman Selderhus is going to come around on the Lord's Day morning of the tour, July 14th, and preach, and then Dr. Beakey is going to lead the evening service, we're told. Now, this particular REFO 500 event, The Legacy of the Reformation, appears to be Protestant in nature. Some REFO 500 events are Romanist. Some are grossly ecumenical, mixing Romanists and Protestants and others, and some are Protestant. But all are part and parcel of the one corrupt whole. Of course, this is the seductive Vatican II nature of REFO 500. It is an absolute desensitizing devil's brew of truth and error, of Romanism and Protestantism. It is a your truth is truth and my truth is truth, and it is a smorgasbord of doctrine and ideologies. It is an eclectic religious, spiritual egalitarianism in action. It is a dialogue between supposed theological equals per the Vatican II strategy. Now, just a few words on this REFO 500 train tour, which takes place in May of next year. It's described as a rail cruise to the Reformation cities in Europe. There are a number of speakers here. Some are from other countries, such as South Korea. We're not going to struggle with these names here. I'll mention some of the names that are going to sound familiar to many of you. Timothy George, there he is again. You have Robert Godfrey, Westminster Seminary. You have Michael Haken, of course, the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. There's Peter Lilback, Westminster Theological Seminary. And you have a number of others here. Oh, there's Herman Selderhus again, of course. And so those are some of the men that will be on this tour. They'll be doing the leading and they'll be doing the preaching. The REFO 500 promotion of the train tour declares its purpose to be, quote, travel, ecumenical fellowship, and knowledge. Music on this train tour is going to be provided by a group called Lost and Found. Now, I'm going to play you a sample of this group's very bizarre music. Listen to this.
My home is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and
yes, you heard what you just heard. That's from the group Lost and Found, and they're going to be playing the music, providing the music on this REFO 500 train tour. It seems to me that that bizarre music is just about right for the unsightly REFO 500 conglomeration, no doubt cooked up by Rome. But I wanted to mention just one more thing about the REFO 500 train tour next May. On the official agenda of the train tour is this: evening worship, baptism remembrance at St. Peter and Paul Center for Baptism, and this is in Eisleben, Germany. So what is this baptismal remembrance, which is on the REFL 500 train tour schedule here? I've never heard of such a ritual. Perhaps some of you have. Well, we did some research, and we found out that the United Methodist Church, the United Church of Christ, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America all use the baptismal remembrance rite. So what I'm going to do is just read you some excerpts from an ELCA website description of a baptismal remembrance ritual. There's going to be one on this REFL 500 train tour. It says evening worship, baptismal remembrance at St. Peter and Paul Center for Baptism. Let's read this from the ELCA website, a description of baptismal remembrance of that ritual. Baptism is the foundational event that brings us into the community of faith and gives us our identity as God's people. I'm going to read a few excerpts here. There are times and occasions when sprinkling with water of an entire assembly can provide a powerful sign and a symbol for the affirmation renewal of baptism. It is a good thing for communities of faith to affirm their baptism at various times throughout the year. The most important time for the affirmation of baptism is at the Easter Vigil. On this night, God makes new Christians, and those of us who are already baptized renew the covenant. Sprinkling with water helps to emphasize and make real the affirmation and renewal taking place. The sprinkling usually happens after the assembly has responded to specific questions affirming their intention to continue to live as God's people. As music is sung, an acolyte holding a bowl of water and the presiding minister move together through the assembly. The presiding minister may use a pine branch as a special sprinkler. The presiding minister dips the branch or sprinkler in the bowl of water as necessary. It's helpful for the presiding minister to sprinkle the water using a large arc-type action with the arm rather than just flicking the wrist. In that way, large groups of people can feel the touch of the water at the same time. Some people have found it helpful to trace the sign of the cross on themselves as they're sprinkled, thus reminding themselves that they have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. Some congregations, especially in new or renewed buildings, gather in worship spaces that are flexible and provide easy movement of the assembly. An alternative to sprinkling in these settings is to invite the entire assembly to come to the fount and renew their baptism by placing their hand in the water and making the sign of the cross or simply touching the face. Other appropriate times for sprinkling are the day of Pentecost, the baptism of our Lord, and All Saints Sunday. It is also a powerful sign and a comforting gesture to sprinkle the coffin at the beginning of the funeral service. Now, keep in mind that list of the REFL train tour leaders and speakers, they were all Protestants. Yet the itinerary on that REFL 500 event includes that very Romish baptismal remembrance rite. But again, this is part and parcel of the rotten, deceptive, ecumenical heart of REFL 500. Between now and through 2017, there are already a great number of official REFL 500 events planned, with more to be announced. Time just doesn't permit us to list, let alone speak about any more of them. I do want to mention, though, according to the official REFL 500 website, there's even a REFL 500 summer school coming up, well, actually this summer. This REFL 500 school is going to be held August 26th through the 31st, where? At the John 23 Foundation for Religious Studies. Among the teachers and teaching units will be Professor Violet Sowen, Catholic University of Leuven. She's going to be speaking and teaching on the Tridentine Decrees. You have a professor here from Bologna, the director of the John 23 Foundation for Religious Studies. He'll be teaching on the Second Vatican Council. You have another teacher from the same place. He'll be teaching on the Latin works of Benedict the 14th. Now, we focused on the organization, the nature, the personalities, and the events of REFL 500, also called REFL 500. The scriptures, which plainly, clearly, forcefully forbid Christians from having any part in and with such an organization, are plentiful. For instance, one immediately thinks of that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to the end of the chapter, ending with, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And of course, it's very, very relevant to go on into that first verse in chapter 7. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." We have been speaking about spiritual fornication here as we're speaking about REFL 500. Now, I've preached on biblical separation many times, and right now time necessitates that I move to wrap this documentary on REFL 500 up and bring things to a close. REFL 500 is a very real and present spiritual danger, a tool of Rome in her relentless quest to subvert the authority of the Word of God, to desensitize the Lord's people to Romish blasphemy and idolatry, to corrupt the Lord's blood-bought church, to lure evangelicals into spiritual fornication, to overturn the Reformation. To those brethren who cannot seem to understand this, we say in the words of the inspired apostle, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." Now, I've asked Reverend Ivan Foster, who shares my concerns over REFL 500, and has stood with me together on this issue, to also share some thoughts in closing.
Paul the Apostle, when speaking of the spirit of Antichrist and rebellion at work amongst the nations, said this to the church at Thessalonica: "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse 7. Paul is here referring to what I might call the workings of the spirit of lawlessness, which has been active amongst the nations since the fall of Adam. The activities of this spirit of lawlessness is termed a mystery because of its secretive, clandestine, and covert enterprises. This is a spirit which stands in complete contrast to the spirit in which the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ functions. Openness marks the gospel. It is written of the Savior that he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew chapter 4 and the verse 23. When on trial before the high priest, he answered a question about his doctrine with these words: "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews also resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." John chapter 18, the verses 20 and 21. There was no concealment, no cunning craftiness, no hidden agenda with the Savior and his disciples. Paul says of the ministry of the apostles and the early church, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the verses 1 and 2. Craftiness is the way of the devil. Hear Peter's definition of the servant of the devil against whom he warns his readers: "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 1 to 3. There will ever be this contrast between the workings of God's kingdom and the workings of the devil and his agents. One is marked by forthrightness and plainness, while the other is marked by secretiveness and underhandedness and deceit. By bearing this in mind, we may rightly evaluate the activities of the organization called REFO 500. It states its purpose in this fashion, and we quote, REFO 500 is the international platform for knowledge, expertise, ideas, products, and events, specializing in the 500-year legacy of the Reformation. On the platform, all kinds of partners from all over the world work together to offer a program for a wide audience and to show the relevance of the Reformation. REFO 500 participants include Protestant and Catholic organizations, universities, seminaries, museums, and so on. The platform is open to every organization that agrees with the goal of REFO 500. However, Dr. Joel Beakey would place REFO 500, in his estimation, at the heart of the celebration of God's wonderful work of grace in setting free the nations of Europe from the yoke of papal bondage. This he states in a video mounted on YouTube. But despite Dr. Beakey's claims, the evangelical leaders of REFO 500 are working with papal institutions and organizations, and these agents of Rome, in keeping with their ancient purpose, are clearly seeking to re-establish themselves as bona fide representatives of the kingdom of Christ. I say that this is that spirit of which Jude warned. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude verses 3 and 4. To me it is clear that REFO 500 facilitates the creepers of popery and liberalism as they seek to turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Against such there must be the voice of a Jude raised to warn the flock. Furthermore, against such there must be the work of digging and uncovering that the prophet Ezekiel was directed to by God in order that the hidden things of darkness might be brought into the light. Hear these words from Ezekiel chapter 8, the verses 6 through to 12. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah the son of Shaphan. With every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? every man in the chamber of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. This work of digging, in order to uncover the hidden things of darkness and dishonesty, is a necessary labour in such days as these. The task of naming the guilty, as did Ezekiel, is likewise commanded of God today. Those who are of God will rejoice in the exposure of sin, while those whose sympathies lie with the enemy will rage at the uncovering of the secret machinations of lawlessness. There are some confused souls who dither and totter about in the no man's land of bewilderment and indecision. Light, as ever, divides men as the dawn brings forth the creatures of the day while banishing the creatures of the night to their shadows. Just what impact does the light of truth have upon you? Where do you stand regarding Refo 500 and those professing fundamentalists promoting the sham that it is?